I invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the Old Testament, to the book of Ruth, the very first chapter. If you're using a Bible near your seat, you'll find that on page 241. Today we're going to be thinking about some truths of God's Word as they relate to mothers. And in the book of Ruth, we will not focus our attention on Ruth, but on her mother-in-law, Naomi. And as we prepare to do that, I'd like you to draw your attention to a short video that will help us see the role of moms from birth throughout life. And when we get to the scripture, I'd like you to envision Naomi as a real mom. You know, not just a Bible story mom, but the real mom who lived with real sorrow and struggled with real sadness and wrestled with God in a real way. So take a look and allow yourself probably in the next few moments to laugh, but also to cry. I think I've seen this video maybe 4 or 5 times, and I'm waiting for the time when there's not a tear in my eye by the time it's over. But allow this to be your way of preparing your heart to give thanks to God for moms today, to pray your blessing upon them, and to look to the scriptures and see a real mom in a real place with real sorrow.
Mommy's here. Oh, my sweet boy.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
Can you say mama? Mama? Mama.
Atta boy.
Open big wide for mama. What a big boy you are. What a big boy you are.
Okay. Now we can't go to church with jelly all over our face, can we?
Oh my goodness. What are you doing with that snake?
You go put that snake back in the hole right now.
That's it, buddy. Yeah. Way to go. Buddy, hey! Oh, buddy! You okay? You're
right. Come here. Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord.
Hey, Mom. Mommy needs just a minute, please.
Hey, Mom, I think you look pretty no matter what, even when your hair looks really weird.
Mom!
Go straight there and come right back.
Hold here, honey!
Oh, Mom's here! It's okay! Oh, you're okay! Oh, thank you!
Oh.
Mom, wait. Stop it.
Mom? Dad? I asked Beth to marry me.
Well, what'd she say?
Welcome to the family.
I'm so happy for you.
Hey, Mom.
Where's that grandbaby?
There she is. I see you.
Oh. Yeah, nice to see you, too.
Hey, Mom.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay.
You did great.
What's that?
The children. You did really great. I always knew you'd be a good dad. But you did really, really great.
Hey, Mom. What are you doing? Of course you are.
Come sit with me.
You know, I was thinking just the other day about what a wonderful mom you are. I mean, God really blessed me with a great lady. You're my mom. You've always been there for me. Even when I didn't want you to be. And nobody ever believed in me like you do. Thank you. I love you, Mom.
And I love you, son.
Mother's Day. Mother's Day is complicated because it's filled with a mixture of things, a mixture of emotions, a mixture of experiences. It's as different to a person as people are different. Mother's Day is complicated, but it is a day when we take time to shine a light on things that are right and good, and to recognize that things are not always that way as well. And this morning, we will try to do both as we look to God's Word together. As we begin, I'd like to share with you a few thoughts from moms, from Emmanuel, who shared them with me about things they love about being a mother. A little while later, we'll hear their words about things that are challenges about being a mother, and then we'll conclude with praying for the things that Emmanuel moms have said. These are the things which we should pray for moms. And so let's begin with a few things that Emmanuel moms have said in the last couple of weeks via email to me about things they love about being a mom. They love watching their children grow into the people that they are becoming. It's a mom's privilege to watch all the firsts. Moms love being a mom because being a mom for them is a true source of joy and inspiration. Emmanuel moms love being a mom because the responsibility of being a mom encourages them to be the best example that they can be. Because so much is at stake, my children motivate me to be more like Christ. Emmanuel moms have written that they love being a mom because God speaks to me through my children. They love the kisses, the smiles, the giggles, and the stories. They love the love that they receive from their children in both words and actions. They love watching them grow and to develop the gifts that God has blessed them with. Moms love being moms because they love the time spent together as family, making memories and sharing in life together. They love being the one that their children come to when they need picking up, from scrapes when they are little, and from heartbreaks when they are older. Emmanuel moms love being moms because they get to see their children grow in faith. They love the tender moments. They love the snuggling. They love the heart-to-heart conversations. They love the joy of loving their children and watching them grow. And they love the comfort of receiving their love. There are lots of reasons that moms love being moms. Thank you to Emmanuel moms for sharing some of the words that I get to share with you today. As I was preparing for this morning, I learned a few interesting facts along the way about Mother's Day that I never knew. This one caught me by surprise, that the busiest car wash day of the year is the Saturday before Mother's Day. So if you washed your car yesterday, you're in good company. Apparently what mom thinks still matters. I also had a chance to read a little humorous story about former President George Bush. George Bush, Barbara was writing in an article in the Washington Post, and she talked about going home to visit the president's parents at that time. They went to see the president's parents, and according to Laura Bush, on this visit, her husband, the most powerful man on earth as president of the United States, woke up at his typical time at 6 a.m. And as usual, went downstairs to get a cup of coffee at his mom and dad's house. He sat down on the sofa, put his feet on the coffee table, and all of a sudden, a mother yelled out from the other room, "Put your feet down." His father said, "For goodness sake, Barbara, he's the president of the United States." And Barbara said, "I don't care. I don't want his feet on my table." The president promptly did as he was told, for as Mrs. Bush observes, even presidents have to listen to their mothers. They have to listen to their mothers because moms are always moms. One Emmanuel mom wrote in response to my invitation, she said, "Well, if I had to summarize being a mom with one word, it would be this: always." Once you're a mom, you're always a mom. From the time of knowing that you are pregnant through the infant years and toddler years and teenage years to children being in the house and out of the house and married or single, nearby or far away, you're always a mom. For her, the way to summarize being a mom was with the word always, always. And this morning, as we look to God's word and we look to a mother-in-law, we will find a mother-in-law who is always a mom. She's a mom, and then she's a single mom, and then she's a suffering mom and a courageous mom. And we learn today about this mom from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. So I'd like to read for you the whole first chapter and have you focus on Naomi and think about her situation. Think about what it must be like to move your family from one place to another because of a famine. It would be like today moving from one place to another because of a change in a job and taking up the household and bringing them somewhere else, a place that you didn't know, a place you weren't familiar with, a place that was different. That was the case for Naomi and her family. This is God's word from Ruth chapter 1. "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons." She's suddenly a single mom. "They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-laws, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband.' Then she kissed them goodbye and wept aloud and said to her, 'We will go back with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me. At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. May God bless his word to us this morning. On Mother's Day, it is good to focus on all the things that mothers do to bless their families and their children, all the love that mothers share, and I hope that you do that throughout this day. But this morning, as we turn to God's Word, we discover some of the other things that moms do, and the first thing that I'd like to think about with you this morning is the fact that moms suffer. Moms suffer. Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. This is a picture of a mom who suffered. Moms suffer because they love. Anyone who loves will end up suffering. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, your heart will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. Moms suffer because they love, and when you love someone, you put yourself at risk. When you love with all your heart, the risk increases. When you love in such a way that you're willing to lay down your life for another, your risk grows even more of your heart being broken and wrung. And so this morning, as we look to Naomi, a mom, we recognize that she suffered greatly. But not all sufferings, like Naomi, are so much up front. A lot happened behind the scenes for moms. They're hidden. Most of us don't see the suffering of a mother's heart who has empty arms. Those who long to be moms but are not, they suffer. They suffer because of the loss of a child and their arms are empty. They suffer because of infertility and their arms are empty. They suffer, a mother's heart suffering without a child. It's often hidden. Most moms suffer on Mother's Day because the thing they hope for on Mother's Day is impossible to receive. I mean, moms get gifts, moms get accolades, moms get kindnesses, but the kind of appreciation that a mom wants, according to Barbara Rainey, she can never receive from her children because they're incapable of giving it at their stage of life. A child just hasn't lived long enough or experienced life enough to be able to offer mom the kind of gratitude that she is deserving of. Someday, maybe decades later, if a child becomes a parent, they are able to see what mom did and still not know the details. And so moms suffer in somewhat of silence. Moms suffer when they're praying for lost children to come home. moms suffer when they're making themselves vulnerable as they seek to adopt a child, and then they have to wait and wait and wait, and sometimes with great disappointment. Moms suffer when they send their children to war. I remember as a young boy watching my mom suffer as she sent her son to Vietnam and waited for him to return home. And then he went back again of his own free will, and mom suffered as she prayed for him. Mom suffered. Naomi suffered. Naomi suffered that kind of suffering that we see, the loss of a husband, and now she's a single mom. And then the loss of her sons, and she is devastated. She's broken apart. Moms suffer. Moms suffer when they face the challenges of being a mom, the small ones and the great ones. And this morning I'd like to share with you some of those challenges that Emmanuel moms have written about in these last couple of weeks. The challenges that are that silent suffering of a mom. Here's a few of them. The challenge of seeing your child hurting. The challenge of letting them have to make mistakes. Moms suffer when they face these kinds of challenges. The challenge of a mom feeling like she has to be more Christ-like because so much is at stake in the raising of her children. The challenge of trying to be patient with children who are sometimes disobedient. The challenge of giving up my time. The challenge of setting appropriate boundaries, even if it doesn't fit in with what the crowd is doing. Moms do this, and they suffer. The challenge of setting aside time for each child and setting aside time for family time. The challenge of keeping up with technology and protecting her children from the dangers that go with it. The challenge of managing schedules. The challenge of managing time, of having enough time to be the kind of mom that one wants to be. The challenge of being firm and fair, especially if children are arguing or fighting. And the challenge of balancing being the authority figure and being a friend and a confidant. Moms take upon themselves all these challenges, and sometimes in the midst of those challenges, they suffer. They suffer because they love, and anyone who loves will probably suffer. But the scriptures summarize it this way when they say, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for a friend." Most moms you meet are willing to lay down their life for their children. When they're not, we're somewhat surprised. We've come to expect that. It's the way God has made us and wired us and called us to serve. We're surprised when that's not the case, when things go awry, when things are different, when moms are selfish, because we've come to expect that moms would lay down their life for a friend. They'd certainly lay down their lives for their child. And they suffer sometimes. And they do it willingly. Moms also sacrifice. In the story of Ruth and Naomi, we see a mom who's willing to sacrifice, a mother-in-law who's willing to sacrifice. Naomi says, "It's time to go back to the land from which I came." Naomi said to her two daughters, "You go back, each of you, to your mother's home." Do you know what she was saying when she said that? She said, "I'm willing to put myself at risk. I will make this journey from Moab back to Israel on my own, without you. I will put myself in harm's way. I will sacrifice my security. I will sacrifice the joy of having the only two things that are left of my sons with me. But I'll do it for you." Her safety, her security, in possibility, her life for their lives, she was willing to sacrifice. Willing to risk her life so that her daughter-in-laws could have a life. Moms sacrifice. They give. And they reveal to us the God who gives. And perhaps the most well-known verse of Scripture is, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Love also always has the quality of giving to it. And if there is no giving, there probably is no love. And moms are usually willing to give sacrificially for the ones that they love. They sacrifice for those who are closest to them, even when those who are closest to us sometimes are the ones who are the most difficult to get along with or the most difficult to forgive. Isn't that the case? Mother's Day is complicated, isn't it? Sometimes it's going to require reconciliation or putting aside hurts from the past or finding ways to move ahead into the future when there seems to be no way. Mother's Day is complicated. But you often will find moms willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice their pride. Sacrifice their ego. Sacrifice for the sake of children who are not perfect and for moms who know they are not perfect either. Mother-in-laws who are not perfect, who know that their sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws aren't perfect either. Moms are usually willing to sacrifice. Naomi was willing to sacrifice her life for the life of her daughters-in-law so that they could go home and find a new husband and make a way. And Naomi was willing to do it alone in a time and in a place where going it alone wasn't even possible. She would be the least and the lost in her society, all by herself, widowed and without children. But this story doesn't end there. Like most stories with God, they don't end here. There is a small ray of hope that shines in to this tragedy, and it comes in the strangest of words. It comes at the very last verse of chapter 1, where moms find strength in God's provision. Moms find strength in God's provision. If we go to the next slide, you see that last verse of chapter 1. It says, "So Naomi returned to Moab accompanied by Ruth." Ruth was the ray of hope. "Her daughter-in-law arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." That barley harvest becomes the ray of hope. You remember why they left? They left because there was a famine. They left Bethlehem in Judah, the place that where Bethlehem, the name means the house of bread. They left the house of bread because there was no bread. They went to Moab, where they thought they would be able to find a way to provide for their family. After tragedy struck, they said, "We'll go back to Bethlehem. We'll go back to the house of bread." And the barley harvest was beginning. A simple fact. It was harvest time. But God was going to work through the harvest time to provide for Naomi when there seemed to be no provision, to comfort her heart when she was not able to be comforted, to restore her spirit when her spirit was broken. She said, "Call me Mara, because the Lord's hand has been against me, and I am bitter." God's good news for moms is that when you're in the place where you say, "Just call me Mara, because this is too hard for me. This is unbearable for me. This is impossible for me." God comes and he says, "I have a new name for you. And my name comes with the ray of hope that is included in that small little verse that the barley harvest was beginning." God would raise up through that harvest and through the landowner the Savior for Naomi and Ruth and for their family. God would eventually raise up for the whole world a Savior through that line and that lineage. That what seemed hopeless and beyond repair, God would repair. Moms quickly find themselves at the end of themselves, whether their children are little or they're teenagers or they're adults. Again and again and again, a mom usually comes to the end of herself. The end of her physical strength. She just doesn't have enough strength to do all the things that are required of her. And if she's a full-time mom and a full-time employee and a full-time something else all combined together, there's just not enough to go around. The end of patience or the end of emotional stability, the end of resources, moms usually get to the end of themselves, and those who are graced by God turn to God. They turn to God for help. They turn back home, as Naomi did. She said, "I will go back to my land and my people and my God." We're not sure what that life looked like in Moab, but Naomi said, "I need to go back to the place where there is life, to the place where there is hope, and to my God." She was at the end of herself, and she needed help, and she found in God her helper. She was at the end of herself and she needed strength, and she found in God her strength. She was at the end of herself, and she simply cried out to God in prayer, and God answered. He answered. She was bitter, she was broken, she was devastated, and God answered a prayer of a bitter, broken, devastated mom. You have to read the rest of the book of Ruth. It's only 4 chapters long to get the rest of the story. But God answered. He answered the prayers of a mom who lost her sons, of a mother-in-law who was willing to release her daughter-in-laws, and of a mom who suffered and sacrificed for them. This morning, I'd like us to close our message time in prayer and to pray with you for the things that Emmanuel moms have written in the last few weeks to say, these are the kinds of things that we need to pray for moms. Moms of our church, moms in our networks, moms in our community. And so I invite you to pray with me this morning and to know that these are the prayers that moms are asking to be prayed for them. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we lift up before you all kinds of moms. Moms who are empty nesters, moms who are mothers of teenagers, moms who have elementary age children and those who have newborns, keeping them up all night. Moms who would like to add to their home another child and they are not able to. Those who long to have their arms filled with even just one child, but they are empty. God, we lift up before you all kinds of moms today. And we pray on their behalf the kind of prayers that they have asked us to pray. Lord, we seek you and we pray that you would guide them to raise their children in the way that you, O God, want them to be raised. That you would help moms to lean on you for strength and courage to handle any situation. Lord, we pray that you would provide for moms the support that they need. Raising children is not a one-woman job, and so we ask that you will use husbands and family and friends and your church to provide support for moms as they need it. Lord, we pray that you'd give the gift of faith to moms so that they might believe and know and have all the confidence that you are in control of their child's life, so that they don't have to be in control. Lord, we pray that through you, through your gift of love to moms, that children will be lavished with love as well. We ask, O God, on behalf of moms, that they might be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We pray that you will help them to be Christ to their children. Lord, we ask that you will equip them to be good examples of godly wives for their daughters who one day might be wives themselves, that they might be good examples of godly mothers for their daughters who one day might be mothers themselves. Lord, we join with moms in praying your protection over their families. We pray for wisdom and guidance for moms not to conform to the world. We pray that you will set them apart for the purpose to which you have called them. We pray that you'll help them find balance between work and home. For many full-time working moms are also full-time moms as well. Lord, we pray for patience. We pray that moms will be faithful in action, in word, and in prayer for their children, and that they may raise up sons and daughters who love and honor Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that moms will be filled with the richness of the Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you will guide them into all truth. These are our prayers, O God, the prayers of a mother's heart for themselves and for others, and we lift them up to you. Father in heaven, moms perhaps know better than anyone else that in the caring and the raising of children, we need you. We need your help. We need your help now. We need your help tomorrow. We need your help next week. Lord, we need your help in this very moment. And we need your help in the next hour. Lord, we need you. And so we lean and trust in you today, O God. And we are so thankful that every day, and in response to every prayer, in you we find a rock, a refuge, and our strength. Hear our prayer, O God. Grace us with your loving and gentle answers. And we ask this all in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.